Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
So we're going to continue our series on Battle for the Mind. And today we're going to be looking at fear of the future, fear of what may happen, fear of the unknown. And so we're going to come out of Colossians 3, 1 to 4, which you're going to read for us right now, B.U.
Yep. So it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen.
Amen. Well done. Well done. Yes, turn that off now. So, guys, I wonder if, as you look at the future, COVID, jabs, all that our culture is going through at the minute, do you fear? Are there things that you fear for the future? Are you in fear of what may happen? Are you in fear of the unknown? And so the thing is this, is that fear of the future is not from God. Fear of the future is from the darkness. Fear of the future is from the enemy of our souls. And he throws it at us to stop us moving forward into the wonderful, amazing things that God has got for every one of us. Can I hear a cheer if you believe God's got amazing things for you? Woo! Not loud enough. Come on. You can do... Yeah, there you go, right there. There it was. God's got amazing things for you, Robbie. Amazing. Not the rest of them. They're like, come on. So, but it is that they're designed to stop you moving forward with God. Is this clicking about a bit? Is that better? Huh? Is that all right? Yeah? Okay. So, but there are obviously legitimate fears for the future. Things like going to the dentist. Isn't it, Adam? Where's Adam? Hey, he knows. You know, there's a fear that's there. No, it's true though, isn't it? We don't like going to the dentist because we know it's going to be painful, right? And I'm facing that at the minute, and I don't particularly want to do it, but I've got to do it. But there are other illegitimate fears, like fears like of having a bath. Did you know that that's a real fear? Ablutophobia, they call that. And the medical world says this, it's most commonly found in children. It usually resolves with age, but it's sometimes found in adults. But legit. And there's another fear of getting married. Yeah, I can remember years of being fearful of getting married as I'm looking out. That sounds terrible there. Is it sound okay? Or I can't have that. It's putting me off. I don't know about you guys. You know, we are family here. Let's try and get it right. What is going on? Okay, that might be better. So, but there are illegitimate fears, okay? There's fears of getting married. And I honestly feared getting married. And as I'm looking out, I know that there are others that still fear that today. It was a real fear for me because I didn't really get a great pattern for that with my parents and that. So it was a real fear there. And then I got married. And then I knew why I was fearful of it. No, let me tell you now, because I want a decent dinner this afternoon. There's nothing like marriage. If you're not married yet, come on, guys. Get married. Do the deal. Get it done. Can I hear an amen to that? And there's other fears. You know, when you hear someone else's fear, you think, that's crazy. You know, I've got this weird fear of spiders and heights, you know. But there's another one. As I was growing up, there was this guy called Gary. And Gary was so fearful that something was going to fall from the sky and hit him on the head that the only way he'd be able to come outside his own doors was to put a bucket on his head. Okay, because he feared it, honestly. And he used to find his way down the shops by the curbs and that. You'd see him, you're right, Gary, in there? Yeah, I'm all right, all that. And I think he did develop from that. He ended up with a sports bag on his shoulder. He started off with a bucket. True story, right? True. Yeah, he was just fearful of something. But the thing is this, that fear of the future is like putting a bucket on our head. We can't see the good things that God has got for us. And so as you're looking at your life right now, is it like you've got a bucket on your head? Can you not see what God has got for you because of the fears that are there? Are you anxious about the future? It's all based in fear. Are you stressing about what may happen? Again, it's all based in fear. Are you overthinking things in life? Are you, they call it excessive reasoning. You make your mind up, then you go back. You make your mind up, then you go back. And you're constantly backwards and forwards. It's all based in fear. And the thing is this, that 365 times in the Bible is the most common command in the Bible is do not fear. But most times it is followed for I am with you. That is God with you guys. And that's the thing, you know. If it said, don't fear because Clive is with you, well, I might be able to help you with a bit of praying for sick people. I'm getting blessed in that way at a minute. Or I might be able to help you with business if you want to start a business. You know, I might need to charge you a little bit for that. But, yeah, you know, but if you wanted me to help you with perhaps rearranging flowers, or maybe even gardening or cooking, it's not my deal, guys. I'm just not that guy. You know, I'm not going to be able to help you. But it doesn't say, this is really getting on my nerves here. Sorry, guys. Where's the other mic? I'll never preach with one of these things. We need to get that sorted, guys.
Right, are we in? All right. Okay. So the thing is this, it doesn't say Clive, you know, is with you. It doesn't say that. It says God is with you. The Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the all-existent God, the all-knowing God, this powerful God, the Ancient of Days. He spoke words and everything came into being. This is the God is that is in you now. He's with you now. He's transformed you now. And he will be with you in whatever the future holds. If you look back, he was with you in your past. He is with you in your present. And he will be with you in your future. Can I hear a glory to that, guys? Come on, that's what it's all about. This is why we shouldn't fear. So to be in fear of the future is really not what God's plan is for us. Proverbs 25:12 says that anxiety in the heart weighs a person down. You can see someone that's worried about the future. Not only will they feel that in the heart, you'll see it. It's like they're downcast. Oh, my soul. You see it, and unless you're very clever and you're one of these like, yeah, everything's hunky-dory. Yeah, inside you're dying. No, fear of the future is not good for us. Is a guy called Gordon MacDonald who spoke about fears of every generation. And he spoke about the teenagers who worry about, who am I? And what am I becoming? Who am I? And then in the 20s, he goes on to say that, what am I going to be doing with my life? And who am I going to be doing it with? And then the fears come in the 30s is that now I've got all these responsibilities. How am I going to manage them? How do I prioritize the things that are going on in my life now? And then we move into the 40s. And then the fear is, am I a success? Or actually is my life a failure? And then we move into our 50s, where it's like we're in the second half of our life. And we start to fear, who are these upstarts, this younger generation that want to just brush me out of the way? You know, people like BE and Sam and Adam, people like that. Well, who are they? You know, just want me off the stage. They just want me out of the way. And then and at the same time, we start to fear our disappointments. These are real fears for people. Then we move into our 60s, and it's the fear then is, you know, am I going to continue doing in life what defines me, or am I going to change and be what God actually called me to be? And then in the 70s, it's like, how do I live with loss? as people that we know pass on much more at that age, as job finishes. I was talking to someone this morning, the cleaner here. He said, you know, a few weeks' time, it's retirement time. How do I cope with that? And then you move into the 80s, and it's like, does anyone actually remember who I was and what I've done? And the truth is, probably not. And in 100 years' time, almost definitely not. In 1,000 years' time, 100% not. And then it's like, what's going to happen when I die? All these fears of the future. But it's good to get this pattern in our mind, to know that every season of life that we live through, there's going to be fears in them. And what we do when we get this overarching understanding of our life, we stop worrying about the here and now. We stop worrying about the things that we can be so focused on. I've got to have this. I've got to do this. This must be the outcome of what I'm doing. I was going to die if we're too focused on the here and now. But as soon as we step back and start seeing our life as a whole, it's like, I'm going to do the best I can now, but I've got a whole lot more life to live. So I encourage you with that. And how do we do that? Well, that's where this passage comes in. Paul says this in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Don't set your mind on things of the earth. That's what it's all about. You know, this world will throw things at you all the time, things to distract you, things that call out for your time, your attention, your finances, away from what Sam was talking about earlier. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Satan will throw everything at you. No, seek the things that I'm giving you. Be the most popular person in town. You know, the words out of your mouth are always designed that people would love you. You know, you're a people pleaser. Is that you? It's not good to do that. It's not good for them or for you. Or the world will say, be successful. You know, be comfortable in your life. Gather more stuff. Gather more money. Make yourself that comfortable person. This comfortable life. Get everything that you want. But the problem with that kind of life, it is not seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's seek me first the kingdom of Clive or whatever your name is. It's about turn. And it's only temporary. It's only to whatever you amass in this life will one day be taken away and you're left with you and your relationship with God. No, Paul says, look, guys, start to think eternally. Get a big picture of what is going on in life. And the great thing is that every single one of us here today has a part to play in the history of mankind, God's story of creation, fall, separation from God, redemption, and then eternity with God. You know, guys, you were created by God, knitted together carefully in the mother's womb. God did that with each one of us, and he's doing that with a couple of us. I'm looking out there now. He's doing it. He's at work within. But then this overarching story from Genesis to Revelation is that there was a fall, a separation away from God. We were removed, chucked out of the garden because of our sin. But the story is that God came to earth as Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sin, that we could be renewed inside. This power of God inside. God is with us inside. And will carry us all the way to heaven. Even when that day comes, when we die, that's just a vehicle to get us there. And then we're going to enjoy heaven forever with him. This is the story we're caught up in, guys. This is the eternal story. The story of your little life with your little kingdom will come and go. But the eternal story carries on. And it's knowing this that changes everything. It changes our priorities. It changes why we do things and why we don't do things. And it calms our fears. It stills our soul inside. Read the Psalm 31:31. It's a wonderful psalm that speaks of a soul weaned like a child with its mother. And so with that perspective, I'm not going to lose sleep if I don't get that job that I so wanted. I'm not going to lose sleep if I don't get the exam results my parents so want me to get. I'm going to do my best if I don't have the best business in the city, you know, the top job in town. It's not so important for me. Yes, I want to do well and God wants me to do well, but it doesn't define me. It's not my identity. It's not what I live for. I live for God. I live for His kingdom. I live for what pleases Him and leave the rest to Him. He said He will add to me. And I can tell you now, it's true. Isn't that amazing? The Bible is true. But let's be honest with each other. Do you get them moments in life? Do you get them fearful moments? You know, oh, you know, where we do cry out inside. Well, guys, you're not alone with that. You're in good company. It's the Bible is scattered with great men and women of God that have been through that. Just a couple of them now. 2 Kings 6, we see Gehazi, this prophet, this great man of God, is there, and he's facing the army that is opposing them, and he has one of them moments. Fear gets in. Oh, my word, what are we going to do? And then Elisha turns around and says, no, God opened his eyes. And God opened his eyes, and he saw the host of heaven that was there backing him up. And then we see even people like King David, who is facing such troubles in his life, that he pretended to be nuts. He started to scratch his fingernails in the doors there, in the gates, while he was dribbling like a complete lunatic because he was frightened. It's true. And then the next one, Jesus himself. He cried out the night before, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And he was without sin. So it's not wrong to get a moment like that. But it's what we do with it that matters. And I could tell you many that I've had. And one, you know, as we started business and we started to grow our business, and it started off with me and my son, and there was a couple more, and then a couple more, and it ended up with 5, 10, I think 15, it got up to 18 people, and it's like, and we're looking at them, people have all got families to feed. And what happens if the work stops? What happens if the money stops coming? Who's going to feed their babies? Who's going to pay their mortgages? And I had this kind of weird fear moment that, you know, it all depends on me. It all depends on me. And if I fail, it's all going to collapse. And I cried out to God, "God, unless you do it, it is going to fail." So I had to let go. It was all too much for me. It's just the truth of that moment. Are you there now in your life? Are you at that kind of point where you think it could all fail? If I don't do this, it's going to fail. Sometimes God gets us there. It's exactly where our God wants us to be. Right in that moment. Why? So that we can trust Him, so that we can rely on Him. And my testimony and the testimony of the saints before me is that God is faithful. God will do what He said He will do for us. So what is that? What will God do for us if we seek the first the kingdom of God? If He is with us, if our life is hidden with Christ in God, like we read earlier, what will He do to calm our fears? Well, I want you to face the fear, whatever fear you've got in your heart now, of the future, whether it's loss or some kind of anxiety about the future, relational, whether it's mental that you're going through, just something. What is it that you're going to go through? Or God's asking you to do, and you think, "I can't do it. Little old me, I can't do it." You know, you've got the Gideon syndrome, worm of the month, till God got hold of him. You know, that's what happens to us. Yeah. What is your fear? What is your fear? Face it now. And I'm going to read from Psalm 33, the things that God says He will do for us. Firstly, "I'll promise to be your shepherd. I'm going to guide you and lead you in life. And then I'm going to help you to lie down in green pastures. That's abundance and fruitfulness and freshness in life, guys. And I'm going to lead you by still waters. Whatever your mind, particularly in the middle of the night, makes up of what your life is going to happen if you step out with me. No, I'm going to lead you by still waters. Peace and security comes with him. And I'm going to restore your soul. However beaten up your heart may be, however, whatever condition your heart may be in for whatever reason, God said, I will heal that. I will restore your soul. I will make you new again. And then I will be with you to comfort you, he says. Just in that psalm, read it there. And I will prepare a banquet for you. Now, if I was to prepare you a banquet, I can tell you now it wouldn't be that memorable for the right reasons. If Debbie was to prepare you a banquet, you'd be coming away going, yes, that was nice, yeah? But if God prepares a banquet that we're going to be enjoying forever, imagine what that is going to be like. That is your future, guys, and my future. And it says there, look, his goodness and his mercy will follow you every day of your life. All the days that are to come, he's going to be with you. And one day that we will be with him forever in heaven. So, guys, your future is all about God. That's the thing. It's all about him. He will do it. What he has started, he will finish. That's what the Bible says. Now, it's not that bad stuff won't happen. It will. We live in a fallen world, and we know what's gone wrong last year. And there's so many cribbing about the virus that we've got now. Read the Bible. Verse 14, chapter 14, it said, there will be wars and rumors of wars, and all these weird things will start happening, and then the end comes. We need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared that other things may go wrong as well. They will go wrong. The Bible's taught us that, but our God wins. Amen, church? Come on. Come on. It will go wrong, but it isn't our identity. Whether life goes well or it doesn't, it's not. The key is to know who you are. Know who your Father is in heaven. Seek first the things above. So these promises are not for everybody. If you're not seeking him, if you're not pursuing God and you're pursuing something else, don't expect all this stuff to cover you. His grace will be there. Yeah, and he will be looked. But it's, we want the fullness, guys, in this church. We want the fullness. And the problem is our hearts so often run after the things of the world. That's kind of what happens. I put my hands up. I have to stop myself. You know, holidays, cars, these things, once they get in our mind, we can't get rid of them. We have to look them up. We have to have something better. And I have to, in my mind, say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not. You know, Jim Carrey said a wonderful thing. You know, love Jim Carrey, real comedian. He says this, look, I think everyone in the world should become rich and famous just so that they can find out it doesn't work. You know, and that's Jim Carrey. You know, funniest guy around, a few years ago anyway, he's showing me age, but also rich. He's famous. He's got it all. And it didn't work. It didn't make him happy. And Paul says this, look, as for you, you have been raised with Christ. What makes you happy? You know, set your mind on things above. So spend your time in the Word of God. Spend your time being holy and righteous. Spend your time listening to what God says to you and ask him this very simple question. It's like, God, what do you want for me? What's the next step for me in life? And spend time with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're immersed in the Holy Spirit, answers come. Acts 2. Acts 2, the disciples were in prayer. And then the Spirit of God came and they knew exactly what to do. They went from fearful to get out there. The Spirit of God came on them and they were speaking in tongues. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Have you immersed yourself in his presence recently? When we do prayer and fasting in a couple of weeks, my word, God makes himself present there. And we need to discern in that environment, when God's upon us like that, what's he saying? Your discernment needs to grow. And I just to give you an encouragement with that. When I'm doing that and I'm discerning and the Spirit of God is on me and I'm thinking about the future, what should I do, shouldn't I do? When it's something God doesn't want me to do, it feels dead. It feels hard work. It feels dark. And my head tends to drop like that. Ooh. Just as a sign of what's going on inside. This is me. I know. But if it's something from God, okay, there's a glow about it. There's life there. There's joy there. And my head tends to lift up. He's done it for 30 years. And I've noticed other people do that as well. When you've got something of God, it's inside, you're going, yes. You try to keep your head down when that's happening. You can't. So discern what God is saying. Now, you may not always understand what God wants you to do. Yeah, I know when Noah was told, build a boat, it hadn't even rained. You know, by then, well, what's a boat? What, you know, what's it look like? What's a flood look like? There's been no water. He didn't know. He just obeyed. And when the disciples felt the Spirit of God come on them, you know, they went out and started speaking in tongues. That was weird. Never done before. But they did it. And second is we trust in God, God's timing and his wisdom. And sometimes the things that we pray for can take a long time. Noah, 100 years. I could mention others. But in sometimes, immediately, it's there. A bit like the Basildon church plant that's going to come out of us. It's like we got these people hooking in on Zoom for a year. What do we do with them at the end? Let's just have a little cup of tea and find out. And then we'll let them go. 30 people turned up. We expected 30 people. All of a sudden, if we're listening to God, God is trying to tell us something with that. There's something going on. These people need a home. They need the gospel. They need life. They need a family. And God is happy enough to say, I want you to build that family out there. Or maybe you get an opportunity to pray for someone. You know, I prayed for two people's knees recently where I could have just not prayed. It was so easy. I've got so many things to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of the world. No. It's like, okay, I'll pray. And one of them got healed and the other one didn't. And it's like, but we still have a go. I never get it all right. And I'll tell you the truth about the one I prayed for yesterday on the way to the gym. I knew she wasn't going to get healed. You know that? Because she had a religious background that had never taught her about healing. And so it's not there. You know, not everybody you pray for is ready for that. You just go for it, though. And don't be disappointed if it doesn't happen. Most times people don't get healed in this country because if they get healed, they'll lose their, what's it called, Deb, where they get? Huh? Disability allowance. I'm just telling you the truth. That is why people don't get healed in this country mostly. It's not because God doesn't want to. So we step out, you laugh. And the thing is, if you're right with God, he will tell you right there why people are not getting healed. I've had it so often. This lady wasn't that. She didn't get healed because she was religious. She didn't want my prayers being better than the prayers she did at a religious church. Stopped her getting healed. And it's like, but I prayed anyway. So just encourage you. When that moment happens, go for it. Or share testimony. Share the most powerful thing you have is your story of how God come and saved you. Do it. And I'll finish with this. Finally, think of things above. And that's what verse 4 says, that whatever happens in life, when Jesus appears, you will appear with him in glory. Do you know what he's telling us there? That before the creation of the world, before he created you, he knew you. And he created you, knitted you together carefully in your mother's womb for a plan and a purpose. And that purpose had a goal. It had an end goal in sight. Do you know what the end goal is for every single person, for your future? That God would fill you with his glory. That's what it was like. You will appear with him in glory. So you will receive the riches of his grace, the riches of heaven, the full wealth of all of heaven will be yours. Joy unlimited will fill your heart, infinite happiness, inexhaustible fun and peace and joy and pleasure, and in the presence of God forever. So guys, God doesn't want you fearing your future. He doesn't. He wants you to spend time with him. God is with you now. He was with you in your past. If you look, you'll see he was there. And he's with you and will be with you in your future. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are safe. You are secure. And his goodness will follow you all the days of your life. And you will one day have a perfect body, absolutely soaked in the glory of God. Can I hear a glory to that?
Glory.
Apart from Linda there laughing at the back. What's all that about? Hey? Was it your birthday this week? Yeah? Is it? All right. Woo! Look at that. Do you know what? And in heaven is going to be so much laughter. Amen. Yeah, that's what it's all about. These religious people, they want to beat you up with all that they know. They want to point out all your sins, everything that you get wrong. And it's like, is that God? He died so we don't have to go through that. He took all the punishment. He's laughing up there. He created to have fun, have laughter. Those of you who haven't been to our prayer meeting, two of the last five of our prayer meetings have just had outbursts of laughter. We're so, you know, when God comes, he loves it when we have a bit of joy like that. So let's all stand, guys. If you're fearful about your future and you're fed up with living life, just fearful of the unknown, what might happen, Jesus is here. He wants to come and help you. Just say a simple prayer like this. Jesus, I don't want to fear the future anymore. I don't want to do it on my own. I am sorry for the things that I've done wrong, but I've just realised you died for me, and I thank you, you died in my place, that I could be forgiven. Please come into my heart. Help me to live that fearless life, that bold life, with where it's me and you together. Pray that kind of prayer today, and God will come into your heart. Something that is the most wonderful experience you'll ever experience. But I believe God wants to soak us in his glory now. Who wants to be soaked in the glory of God right now? Hands up. Come on. Glad I'm not the only one. God wants to soak us in his glory. Ephesians 1 said this, may the Father of all glory give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would know the hope to which you were called, the riches of his glorious inheritance. So speak to your heart right now. Agree with me as I pray this prayer. I refuse to live in fear for the future, for you are with me. You don't have to say it loud, just agree with me in your heart. Unless you want to, Adam. But I refuse it. It's saying no. When them thoughts come in your mind, they will come. Think of things above. Refuse that fear, any place in your heart and mind. I declare that my life is hidden with Christ in God right now, secure, safe with him. And I'm an integral part of God's eternal story. And I commit to play my part, knowing that God is committed totally to help me and be with me through the good times and the bad times, because he promises his goodness will be with me all the days of my life. God, open the eyes of our hearts today. Fall afresh on us, Lord, with that glory, with that anointing. Just let it happen right now. The glory of God filling our hearts. The glory of God filling our soul. That burning feeling, the presence of God as we open our hearts to him. And I declare that I'm going to be with you in glory forever. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to worship God now. Let's just worship our God. Praise him for his glory. Thank you, Lord.